Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
Great to be here.
Today, we're cracking open some fascinating historical sources. We want to explore a specific corner of northern Syria in the early 20th century, specifically the area around Afrin, Kurdag, and Jebel Saman. And we're looking at it through the eyes of, well, a really remarkable traveler, Gertrude Bell.
Yeah. And let's be clear right from the start. We're not talking about one single document that lays it all out. You know, here's everything about Afrin.
No, not at all.
It's more like, well, a whole stack of different materials.
Yeah.
Her published books, of course, but also thousands of private letters, her diaries, field notes, and this huge collection of photographs she took.
So that's really our mission today, isn't it? Sifting through all this archive to pull out what she actually saw or noted down or even just photographed in this specific area.
Exactly. And crucially, before the huge changes brought by the First World War and the collapse of the Ottoman Empire.
It really feels like piecing together a historical puzzle sometimes, doesn't it? From all these scattered clues.
It does. And why does this matter? Well, because this region, as you know, has seen such dramatic transformations since she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Her records, even though they're filtered through her own perspective, they offer this unique snapshot of what it was like back then.
Hmm.
Almost a historical baseline for what some people have called a vanished world.
Okay, so let's explore what we actually found in her writings and photos.
I'd do it.
First, maybe we should just briefly unpack who Gertrude Bell was and the context, the world she was moving through.
Good idea. She was, well, quite a figure. Lived 1868 to 1926. And she wasn't just an explorer. She was an archaeologist, a writer.
And later, she played a really significant, sometimes quite controversial role in shaping the modern Middle East after the war, particularly in Iraq.
Absolutely. Incredible intellect. She was fluent in Arabic, Persian, Turkish, several European languages, too, and physically very tough. She covered huge distances, often on horseback, through some really difficult terrain.
And the documentation she left behind is just vast, isn't it? Those extensive writings, the diaries, and as you mentioned, thousands of photographs, meticulously detailed.
Mm-hmm. And that documentation was key to her later political influence, wasn't it? Serving as Oriental Secretary, advising the British in Mesopotamia.
Right. But her travels in Syria, especially the big journey in 1905, which is so central for us today. That happened at a really interesting time.
Yeah, Ottoman Syria back then was complex, very diverse. Part of a declining empire, you know, already feeling the pressures of internal changes and the growing interests of European powers.
And her journey was well before World War I, before the colonial borders were drawn, that just redrew the whole map. So her accounts capture this specific area. Well, just before it underwent this fundamental transformation.
So our focus here is really trying to drill down into her records, the published stuff, the archive, the photos, looking for anything, really, that touches on the Afrin region, the Kurdah, the Kurd Mountains, and the Jebel Saman and Massif.
And we should probably manage expectations a bit, shouldn't we? Direct mentions of Afrin town itself might be, well, pretty limited, especially in her main published works.
That's likely true. So we're looking more regionally. The Afrin River Valley, the mountains around it, specific archaeological sites she definitely visited, like Brad. And any villages or settlements she described in that wider area.
But even with those limitations, her documentation, even filtered as it is, acts as this invaluable, almost accidental baseline. It helps us understand the environment, the society, maybe even the political feel of this specific region before those massive changes hit.
Think about it. So many landscapes, ancient sites, even whole settlements she recorded have been dramatically altered. Conflict. Development.
Yeah.
Her notes and photos can offer these crucial little details for understanding, say, historical ecology or how settlements were distributed or even where different groups might have lived back then.
But, and this is really important, isn't it? Her access, who she met, that profoundly shaped what she actually saw and wrote down.
Absolutely critical point. As a European woman traveling, she relied heavily on, you know, local guides, Ottoman officials she could connect with, tribal leaders, local notables.
Well, social standing, her connections opened certain doors.
Right. Which means her view might lean towards the perspectives of her hosts or the more powerful groups she could safely interact with.
So it's possible, maybe even likely, that marginalized communities or maybe areas she couldn't easily get to might be underrepresented in her account. We have to keep that in mind.
Definitely.
Okay. So with that context set, where do we actually start digging at her work? Where are these clues?
Well, the most obvious starting point, the primary published source for this specific part of Syria, is her 1907 book, Syria, The Desert in the Sown.
Right, that chronicles her big 1905 journey, the one that took her north through present-day Jordan and Syria, eventually getting her to Antioch.
Exactly. And it's the northern leg of that trip, as she traveled from Aleppo up towards Antioch, that's most relevant for us. That's when she would have been physically closest to Afrin, Kurd Dagh, Jebel Semon.
Her later book, Amurath to Amurath, gives broader context, I suppose.
Oh, it does, but The Desert in the Sown is really the main text for that crucial 1905 trip.
Yeah.
Both need careful reading, obviously.
Okay, but the book is the polished version, isn't it? The public face. Where do we find the potentially richer, maybe more candid details?
Oh, well, that's the Gertrude Bell Archive at Newcastle University. It's an absolute treasure trove.
It's huge, right? Not just a few boxes.
Oh, no. We're talking something like 16,000 letters, 16 diaries, 7 field notebooks, and around 7,000 photographs. It's immense.
Wow.
And for our purpose, the diaries and letters specifically from that 1905 journey are incredibly promising. They're less edited, potentially more immediate, candid details that maybe didn't make the final cut for the book aimed at a Western audience back home.
And the fact that so much of it is digitized and searchable now, that makes this kind of focused searching possible in a way it wouldn't have been before.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
And it's multilingual too. English, Arabic, French, German materials in there.
Okay, so books, archive, and then the visual evidence, her photographs. You said she was a compulsive photographer.
Very much so. And her collection is photographic gold. These images capture the landscapes, the archaeological sites she was so interested in, the architecture, and crucially for us, sometimes the people she encountered.
How are they organized? Can we find the relevant ones?
Generally, the albums are organized by journey and date. So the albums from her 1899-1900 trip, and absolutely critically, those from the 1905 expedition, they're the ones we need to examine closely for this region.
And they offer insights you just can't get from text, I imagine.
Completely. Visual context. What did the ruins actually look like then? What was the state of the landscape? Glimpses of daily life around 1900.
So it's really about understanding these different layers of information, isn't it? The raw notes, the letters, the polished book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bell took her immediate impressions, the diary entries, letters back home, and she crafted them into those published narratives. She was balancing, you know, scholarly observation with trying to tell a compelling story for her readers.
Which means the diaries and letters might feel more immediate, personally.
Definitely more immediate, more personal. They often capture fleeting thoughts, logistical problems, maybe bits of gossip she heard, things she wouldn't put in a formal publication.
So looking at the same time period across all these sources, book, diary, letters is essential.
It really is. The archive might hold those brief mentions, unverified snippets, personal reflections that got edited out. And those little details could be exactly what we need for understanding areas like the Afrin hinterland, which might not have been the main focus of her published story.
What about her photography itself? Did it change over time?
Yeah, it developed. By the 1905 journey, she was quite skilled, using relatively portable cameras for the time, like Kodaks. Her archaeological passion definitely guided her lens. She loved ruins, dramatic landscapes.
But she must have captured other things, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And any images she took of local people, villages, daily life, even if they were sort of incidental to our main archaeological goal, are incredibly valuable historical documents now.
Okay, let's focus then on The Desert and the Sown. What does that published book actually tell us about this specific area near Afrin?
Well, the key is her 1905 route. As she traveled north from Hama and Aleppo towards Antioch, she would have come right into the vicinity of Jebel Simon, Kurd Dagh, and the Afrin River Valley.
Did she describe the journey much?
She did. She describes it as challenging. And interestingly, she mentions passing through areas with warring Turkish tribes, her words, which gives you a hint about the security situation, maybe the limits of Ottoman control in those more peripheral areas.
And what about her general observations in the book?
She talks about the northern Syrian landscapes, the diversity of people she met, the Ottoman administration. Her stated aim was, and I quote roughly here, to show what the world is like in which they live. She weaves in stories she heard from shepherds, officials, people she met.
How did she portray the Ottoman governance?
It's quite nuanced, actually. She notes its shortcomings, definitely, but also seems to acknowledge the sheer difficulty of governing such diverse populations and what she called turbulent elements.
So if you're going through the book looking for clues about Afrin specifically, what are you searching for?
You're looking for any mentions, explicit or maybe just implied, of the Afrin River, maybe its old name, Euphrates, or Kurd Dagh, the Kurd Mountains, which we know has a long Kurdish history.
Mm.
or specific archaeological sites in Jebel Samayn, like Cyrus or particularly Brad.
And there's a really interesting clue related to Brad. Isn't there something about the German edition?
Yes, this is fascinating. The German edition of The Desert and the Sown has this title, Am Ende de Lava Strom. It translates to at the end of the lava flow.
Okay. Why is that significant?
Because, crucially, that German edition is specifically cited in the German Wikipedia entry for Brad. Brad is a major archaeological site right in Jebel Samayn, very close geographically to the modern Afrin region.
Ah, so that connection strongly suggests she did visit Brad, described it in the book, and was therefore physically present right there in the Jebel Samayn area near Afrin.
Exactly. It's a key piece of evidence confirming her presence right on the doorstep, so to speak.
She also made an observation somewhere near Antioch or Alexandretta, didn't she, about the population mix?
Yes, she noted a heavy mix between Turks and Arabs there, which is interesting because Kurd Dog is near Antioch and historically Kurdish. It makes you wonder what she might have observed about the people between Aleppo and Antioch in that stretch.
So based on her likely route and these clues, can we sketch out a potential timeline for her movements in this area, say, April, May 1905?
We can try. She'd likely start in Aleppo in April, describing the city, meeting officials, then moving north or northwest towards Jebel Samayn. Well, her private notes might detail the agricultural landscapes, encounters in villages.
And the strongest evidence points to Brad.
Yes. A visit to Brad in Jebel Samayn, probably in April 1905, seems very likely. Her descriptions, and as we'll see, her photos would focus heavily on those amazing Byzantine ruins, churches, tombs, houses, all set in that distinctive limestone landscape.
Could she have visited other sites nearby? Cyrus, maybe, near the Afrin River?
It's possible. Maybe April, maybe May. If she did, her records might mention the Roman or Byzantine ruins there, or perhaps give us observations on the Afrin River Valley itself.
And what about Kurd Dagh, the mountains themselves?
That's less certain if she traveled right through the heart of it. But if her route towards Antioch took her along its edges, her records might mention the mountainous terrain, maybe encounters with Kurdish inhabitants, notes on customs, or comments on security in the mountains.
And then finally reaching Antioch in May.
Right. Describing the city, its population mix, the surrounding landscape.
Okay, so when we read this published narrative in The Desert and the Sown, how should we approach it?
With nuance. It definitely captures her observations, her interactions, but it's absolutely filtered through her specific viewpoint, an educated, upper-class English woman of that particular time.
You see sympathy for ordinary people, but also...
But also sometimes that colonial-era framing. You find phrases about, you know, the Oriental mind being like a very old child, that sort of thing. It's a mix of genuine engagement and the inherent biases of her time and background.
Her descriptions are layered.
Very layered. And that German title, At the End of the Lava Flow, it really highlights her primary interest there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The geology, those incredible ancient limestone cities, the so-called dead cities of Jebel Samayn.
Which suggests her written account in the book probably prioritized the archaeology of Jebel Samayn.
I think that's very likely. While she definitely observed contemporary life, her descriptions of the local villagers, whether they were Kurdish or Arab or others living near Jebel Samayn or perhaps in the Afrin Valley, might be quite brief unless they were directly involved in helping her, you know, with the archaeology or logistics like finding guides or water.
Her interests had a clear hierarchy.
It seems so, yes.
Okay, this feels like a good moment to pause, actually, because, oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosh Hannah.
Wonderful. Perfect timing.
Let's see. How is the chai today, Hannah? It's good, but maybe a little bit bitter for me today. Could use a touch more sugar, perhaps. What do you think?
Let me try. No, I think it's actually quite nice today. Got a good strength to it. Doesn't need anything for me.
Fair enough. Well, it's still welcome. Always good to have our chai break.
Definitely. Okay. Feeling refreshed.
Right. Where were we? Ah, yes, the archive. So the book gives us clues, especially about Jebel Samayn and Brad, but the archive, the diaries, letters, field notes, that's where the hidden details might be, isn't it? The untapped stuff about Afrin Valley, Kurd Dagh.
Absolutely. The archive is, well, less polished. It gives you a more immediate window into her day-to-day experiences, her raw thoughts.
So her private papers from 1905 are more likely to contain those fleeting mentions.
Exactly. Mentions of smaller settlements she passed through, maybe local place names, specific details about her route, or just observations about the Afrin region or Kurd Dagh, or specific sites that simply didn't fit the narrative of the book.
So targeted searching in the digitized archive is key here. What sort of terms would we use?
Well, the obvious ones first. Afrin, maybe alternate spellings like Ifrin, the historical river name Euphrenus, then Kurt Dag, Jebel Siman, Jebel Siman, specific sites like Cirrus, Nibi Huri, and definitely Brad.
Anything else?
Yeah, maybe names of known tribes or prominent local figures from that era in those specific areas, if we know them from other sources. And there was that interesting hint we found in a secondary source.
Oh, yeah.
That her collected letters of Gertrude Bell might contain a reference to Afrin in some sort of political context.
Which is really tantalizing. It suggests her personal letters could hold relevant details.
But we need to track down that specific letter to be sure.
Absolutely. Can't take it as confirmed without seeing the primary source.
So if we find potential hits in the archive, say in the spring 1905 material as she's moving north from Aleppo, what are we looking for in those entries? We're looking at her daily diary entries first. Do they record names of villages, describe the terrain, mention river crossings, maybe the Afrin River?
Encounters with locals.
Yes, any encounters with local people. Her personal impressions of the conditions in Jebel Siman or maybe on the edges of Kurd Da. And her letters home, especially to her father and stepmother, were often very detailed and personal. They might contain reflections she wouldn't publish.
Any field notes, too?
Definitely. Any field notes specifically on archaeology or even ethnographic observations she made in that vicinity would be incredibly valuable.
Interpreting these clues from the archive needs care, though. What does the presence or even absence of certain terms tell us, like Kurd Da?
It's very telling. If terms like Kurd Da or specific detailed references to Kurdish populations near Afrin appear in her private papers, that confirms her direct awareness and observation.
Because Kurd Az is historically Kurdish, and she was generally quite observant about different groups.
Right. Since her private papers were less filtered for a public audience, if she did encounter and recognize distinct Kurdish communities there, it's quite possible she noted it down, even briefly.
And if those terms are absent, or she uses very general descriptions.
Well, that can mean several things. Limited interaction. Maybe her focus was just elsewhere on the ruins, perhaps. Or maybe she just didn't perceive their specific ethnic identity as particularly noteworthy at that moment, or used a broader term like mountain folk or villagers.
And the logistical details in her diaries, they offer indirect clues too, don't they?
Immensely valuable indirect clues. Details about the challenges of travel traversing the Afrin Valley, the mountains of Kurd Da back then, difficult paths, needing guides, negotiating security with local authorities or tribes.
Yeah, that tells you a lot about the region itself.
It really does. Descriptions of tricky river crossings, the state of the roads or tracks, needing escorts. It illuminates the physical geography, yes, but also who held power locally, the security situation, the level of infrastructure or lack of it in these Ottoman peripheries. Her diaries often included these very practical day-to-day travel details.
Okay, so moving beyond the text, let's talk visuals. Her photographs, you said they're like visual ethnography.
In a way, yes. Her photo collection is such a powerful resource. And for the area near Afrin, her photos specifically from Brad and Jebel Samayn are absolutely crucial evidence.
And we have specific references for those.
Yes, that German Wikipedia entry for Brad links, specific photo reference numbers C019 through C030, all dated April 1905, directly to her visit there.
So that's undeniable visual proof of her presence right there.
It is. Brad is squarely within Jebel Samayn, geographically very close to the Afrin Valley. These photos are primary visual records. We need to analyze those specific images from the archive database to really understand what she documented visually right next door to the modern Afrin district.
Are there other photos we should look for from other albums?
It's worth looking. Other albums from the 1905 journey, potentially album C, maybe even earlier trips like 1899, 1900, or her later 1909 journey, might contain relevant images. It requires a systematic review, really, of anything covering that Aleppo to Antioch corridor in spring 1905.
What might they show, besides Brad?
Potentially general landscapes, other sites in Jebel Siman she might have passed, maybe unplanned shots of her local guides or people she encountered along the way, views of Aleppo City, landscapes en route to Antioch, river crossings, maybe even the Afrin River, villages, notable features.
When we interpret these photos, though, given her interests, ruins probably dominate, right? Especially at Brad.
That's the likelihood, yes. Her deep interest in archaeology means ruins and historical landscapes were probably her main focus.
But.
Any photos she did capture, perhaps incidentally, of local people, villages, agriculture, you know, the olive groves are so characteristic of Afrin, or scenes of daily life near Afrin, Kurd Dog, or Jebel Siman. Those are incredibly valuable historical documents now.
Because they show things that might have changed or disappeared since?
Exactly. They provide a visual record of sites, environments, maybe ways of life that have been altered or even destroyed in the century since she was there.
So putting the visuals and the text together, that's the key.
That's where you get the richest picture. The Brad photos, combined with her descriptions in the desert and the Saône, and then maybe clarified further by details in her diaries or letters, that allows for a much fuller, multimodal understanding of her experience near Afrin.
The photos show things the text can't, and vice versa.
Precisely. Photos show scale, architectural detail. Text provides names, interactions, context. For Jabel, Simon, and Brad, that combined analysis is fundamental.
And if, hypothetically, we did find photos clearly from the Afrin Valley or Kurd Dagh, what might their focus tell us?
Well, if there weren't major ruins like Brad dominating the view, her focus might shift. Maybe she'd photograph the landscapes for their scenic beauty or specific geological features. Or perhaps she'd capture images of people she saw as, well, representative types, a common practice then.
Which gives us different kinds of historical data.
Exactly. Different but equally valuable data about the contemporary environment and its inhabitants at that specific moment.
Okay, let's turn then to what her records, text, and photos might tell us about the people she encountered and the local condition that she observed around there. Finding mentions of Kurds seems key.
It's a major objective, yes. Especially near Kurd Dagh, the Afrin Valley, Jabel Samayn. Kurd Dagh, as the name implies, has a very long history of Kurdish settlement. And northwest Syria generally was and is a complex ethnic and religious mix.
Did Bell usually note different groups?
Generally, yes. She documented Yazidis in Iraq quite distinctly later on. And she noted that heavy mix between Turks and Arabs near Antioch. So a crucial question is, how did Kurds, or perhaps other minorities like Alevis or Christians in the Afrin hinterland, feature in her notes compared to larger populations? Was she aware of them? Did she comment?
What about daily life? Economy?
We'd look for any details, however fragmented, on village life, farming practices, especially olive cultivation, which is so central to Afrin historically pastoralism, any local trade or small industries she happened to see. Notes on hospitality, social structures, family life, even relations between different local groups, all contribute to the socioeconomic picture around 1900.
And she often commented on governance and security, didn't she?
Yes, frequently, especially on Ottoman administration in the peripheral region. So any observations she made on how effective or ineffective Turkish governance was north of Aleppo and toward the mountains are highly relevant.
Like accounts of local power holders, tribal figures.
Exactly. Mentions of tribal sheikhs or agas, perhaps specifically in Kurd Dagh. Any details about lawlessness, banditry, or general security concerns are very telling. Remember that phrase, warring Turkish tribes? It strongly suggests safety was on her mind as she moved towards Antioch.
Did she ever record local political feelings, discontent, identity?
That would be fascinating to find. Any reflections on political sentiments, perhaps discontent with Ottoman rule, maybe early signs of Arab nationalism, or observations about local Kurdish identities or other communal loyalties would be historically significant. A rare glimpse into attitudes from that precise time and place.
Interpreting these social observations, it's qualitative data, right? Through her lens.
Absolutely. Her descriptions of the ethnic or sectarian makeup near Afrin, Kurd Dagh, Jabel Samayn provide valuable qualitative insights into the historical demography of this incredibly complex borderlands. Sunni, Alevi, Christian, Yazidi communities were all present in the broader region.
It's a snapshot from the early 20th century.
A snapshot. And ideally, to get a fuller picture, you'd cross-reference her accounts with other sources, Ottoman records, maybe other travelers, if any, went through that exact spot, local histories, if they exist. Her view is one important thread for understanding settlement patterns and population distribution before the massive changes of the 20th century.
And her comments on security or disorder?
They reflect both the likely reality on the ground and her own perceptions, and maybe anxieties as a European woman traveling alone with her caravan. But analyzing those comments helps gauge the actual reach of the Ottoman state versus the autonomy of local actors, like maybe powerful tribal groups, especially in mountainous areas like Kurd Dagh.
So accounts of incidents, needing escorts.
Relying on local notables for safe passage. All these offer practical insights into how governance actually worked, the limits of imperial reach, and the dynamics of local power right near Afrin in the late Ottoman period.
Finally, we really have to consider Bell's own perspective, don't we? How her interests and background shaped everything she recorded.
Essential. Her primary passion was archaeology and history. That heavily influenced her routes, the sites she spent time at, even how she viewed the contemporary people living nearby. Her intense focus on Jebel Saman and Brad comes directly from her fascination with those Byzantine ruins.
And she sometimes viewed the locals through that lens.
It seems so. Sometimes through a romanticized lens, seeing them as links to an ancient, maybe more authentic or uncorrupted past. That likely colored how she documented the rural populations near Afrin, framing them perhaps more in relation to the historical landscape than their contemporary lives.
Especially if there weren't spectacular ruins right there.
Right. In areas without those monumental antiquities, her documentation of contemporary socio-political complexities might be less detailed.
And we have to remember the colonial context.
Absolutely have to. She was a product of her time, her class, the British imperial world. Her views on the Orient, on Ottoman rule, on local peoples, they were inevitably shaped by the prevailing colonial attitudes and frameworks, even when she showed genuine empathy and interest.
Her later political role might even cast a shadow backwards.
It's possible. Her later significant role in British intelligence and politics in Iraq might subtly, perhaps even unconsciously, influence how she framed even her earlier 1905 observations when writing them up.
So there's this real interplay, isn't there? Her archaeological focus gives us priceless records.
Invaluable records of sites, many now damaged or gone. But that same focus might mean she underdocumented the contemporary social or political situation in areas lacking those big ancient sites, perhaps parts of the Afrin Valley or Kurd Dagh.
Her interactions there might have been more functional.
Possibly more logistical or superficial needing guides. Buying supplies, arranging hospitality rather than a deep ethnographic engagement, unless it directly served her archaeological goals. Her interests seemed to have had a hierarchy.
And the broader impact of her work, it fed into colonial knowledge, didn't it?
Undeniably. Despite her scholarly motives and often clear empathy, Bell's extensive writings and reports contributed significantly to the Western body of knowledge about the Middle East.
And that knowledge was then used.
It was used, sometimes in ways maybe different from her own intentions, to inform and sometimes legitimize imperial policies. Her very ability to travel as she did, her access, was facilitated by the dynamics of empire and her own prestige. So even her scholarly work on northern Syria had political dimensions, shaping how these regions and peoples were perceived and later managed by external powers during that critical period of transformation.
Okay, so let's try and sum up what we've pieced together from looking at the sources on Bell and this region.
Right. It seems direct, extensive text specifically about Afrin town is probably unlikely in her main book, The Desert and the Zone.
But her records are definitely relevant to the wider region.
Hugely relevant. We have strong evidence from the German edition title, cross-referenced with the photographic record that she definitely visited and documented Brad in Jebel Saman in April 1905.
And Brad is geographically very close to the modern Afrin district.
Very close. Making those specific photos, C019 to C030, a crucial visual record of her presence right in the immediate vicinity.
And her known route from Aleppo towards Antioch means she must have passed through or very near the Afrin River Valley and the Kurd Dagh.
Yes. And while her published focus for Jebel Saman was clearly archaeological, the potential for finding more specific mentions, details about the river, maybe local villages, perhaps observations about the Kurdish inhabitants of Kurd Dagh, that potential lies hidden in her unpublished archive.
The diaries, the letters, the field notes.
That's where the search needs to continue.
So even if direct text on Afrin itself is minimal, her observations provide really important context, don't they, for this specific region and time just before World War I.
Absolutely. It's a snapshot of an area right on the cusp of profound, irreversible change. Her scattered notes on Ottoman administration, security, local relationships, however incomplete they are, they add valuable nuance to understanding this Ottoman periphery in the early 20th century.
Bell's legacy is complicated then. Pioneer, scholar, politician.
All of those things. Explorer, archaeologist, linguist. Her archive is an incredible resource for historians. But, as we've said, it has to be read critically within its historical context.
Acknowledging her perspective was shaped by her time and that her knowledge inevitably became intertwined with the imperial project.
Exactly. The full extent of her specific knowledge or detailed observations about the Afrin area or Kurd Dagh, well, it might remain somewhat elusive. It requires that painstaking detective work in the archive.
But the process itself, combining the published works, searching the private papers, analyzing the photos, adding the context, that's a valuable historical exercise in itself.
It really is. The search illuminates her world, and the challenges of understanding the past through any single person's eyes, no matter how perceptive they were.
So ultimately, Bertrude Bill's record, analyzed carefully, compared with other sources, if we can find them, Ottoman documents, other travelers, local histories, it serves as one important thread, doesn't it?
One vital thread in weaving together a richer, more comprehensive history of Afrin and its surroundings.
It really reminds you that history isn't usually found in one neat package. It's more like a complex tapestry woven from many different perspectives. We have to look beyond just one viewpoint, even one as detailed as hers, to get closer to understanding the past.
Well said. It leaves you wondering what other threads are still out there, waiting to be discovered and woven in.
Thank you for joining us for this particular exploration into the archives.
We hope this glimpse into Gertrude Bell's perspective adds another layer to your understanding of this complex region's past.
Until next time on the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.